Now I want you to turn to your Bibles. Turn with me to that chapter that was read so well by Paul. It's Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. And I want to try and speak to you about a familiar verse. Familiar to all of us, I suppose, but certainly familiar to you and to me. But here we are in Isaiah 53 and verse 2. For he shall go up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. The verse which I really want to try and speak to you about is verse 2. For he shall go up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. A root out of dry ground. Let me just remind you that on Sunday mornings, we've been looking at some of the titles and some of the descriptions of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have seen quite a few over the last month. And this, again, is another description of our Lord Jesus Christ, although it's a strange one in some respects. A root out of dry ground. Let me begin by saying that there are many illustrative and instructive titles on the names of our Lord Jesus Christ. You remember some of them in the Old Testament, perhaps. The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. Shiloh. People wondered what on earth that name meant, but it really is concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. Last night we were thinking somewhat of the star that come out of Jacob. We thought together some weeks ago now that the wonderful title of Emmanuel was given to this baby, which really means God with us. We could go on, couldn't we, and speak about Jesus of Nazareth, and he is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Son of Man. And all of these titles, you see, of the Lord Jesus will add some light to the glorious person that he really has. But what about this description? A root out of dry ground. Tell me, how do you understand that? Could you really say the Lord is like a root out of dry ground? I really understand what you mean and understand it in the biblical sense that we have here. The other thing to say about this particular portion of scripture is it's a strange title to find in this particular place. You see, this chapter is all about the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. You look down the chapter and you'll see, of course, that I'm saying the right thing. Look in verse 4. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, and we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. And the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. So you look down that passage of scripture, don't you? And you see, that's all about the cross. That's all about the place where Jesus was hung up and crucified. And yet this is the time of the year that we're thinking, of course, of the birth of our Lord Jesus. What we're to understand in the Word of God is that both, of course, go together. You can't understand Calvary and the precious blood that was shed upon Calvary without a spiritual appreciation of Bethlehem, the first part of our Lord's life. The world makes much, of course, of Bethlehem and perhaps of Christmas as well, but little of Golgotha and of the cross. It lustily sings the carols, but conveniently forgets the blood of Good Friday. And yet we understand both of them must go together. The road from Bethlehem that we think of at this time of the year led directly to Calvary. Someone has said, and I quote them here, that the cross is implicit in the cradle, and so it is. It really is. And the road from Bethlehem led to Calvary itself, and certainly we understand what that really means. Let me just read you a verse which comes from 1 Corinthians and chapter 1. That is a wonderful chapter, and it's somewhat about the cross of our Lord Jesus. Let me read to you verse 17 and 18. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. You see, the world thinks it's foolishness to consider the cross. That's why they make much of Christmas and nothing of the cross of Calvary. And so it's foolishness to them, but to us it's the power of God, and so is the incarnation of our Lord Jesus. Well, let's have a look at this verse and try to understand something about it. First of all, I want to show you that we have here a symbol and its message. The symbol and its message. Christ is a root out of dry ground. But you may say to me, how is he a root? Could you understand that? What does it really mean? Well, it refers to a number of things. First of all, it refers to the early years of obscurity. We know that there were 30 years of obscurity concerning our Lord Jesus Christ. And the root, of course, is hidden, isn't it, first of all? You don't actually see the root. You see what the root produces. But a root can be a root out of dry ground. And here it seems to me that that is exactly the meaning of this. I remember reading some books years ago concerning what happened in those 30 years. And men have made out that the Lord used to use his miraculous powers in that he used to do lots of different things, making things fly that never were meant to fly, and things to grow which were never meant to grow. And things, well, you could go on, couldn't you? And you could imagine in your mind what happened in those 30 years. I don't think any of them are true. There's nothing there at all. And we mustn't go beyond Scripture. If the Bible says it, we believe it. If the Bible doesn't say it, we keep well away from it. And that, of course, is the rule that we must have ourselves. But there was 30 years of obscurity, 30 years of silence, before we see the Lord for 3 years in his ministry that he came to bring to you and to me. And so the first picture that you have here certainly is the years of obscurity. The root is obscured. And then the second thing I think we have here is his glorious person as God himself. But how do we see that? Well, we see it in this manner. The deity was hidden from the world. He wasn't born in Jerusalem. He was born in Bethlehem. He was not born in a palace, but in a stable manger. He came with no great show here on earth. The angels, when they came to give the message, gave it to a shepherd or shepherds. And when he gave it to the shepherds are the lowest form of employment for the Jew. And yet, that's where the message actually came. He starts, the star that was shown to the wise men, but not to all, but to a select number. You see, God made, it seems to me, himself into flesh in a humble circumstances, unnoticed, unobserved. His deity was not seen or known at all by mankind. His glory was veiled. We sing it in a hymn. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, Jesus, our Emmanuel. And the glory was a veil itself, yet here was God incarnate, coming into this world for our redemption. And so that's another reason why he's called a root out of dry ground. But there must be more. Because the third thing that we have here is the foundation. Have you ever considered, I'm sure you have, a root is the beginning of a tree, or whatever it may be. The root bears the weight and the strain. The root is the centre of the life of that tree, perhaps. The root produces the sap and the strength. The tree is only as good as the root. Without the root, there's no tree. Without the root, there's no life. Without the root, there's no leaf. There's no blossom. There's no fruit. But this is a church. This is a church. Christ is the foundation of the church. But what about a Christian? A Christian will say quite clearly that the very root of his life is Christ. The very foundation of his life is Christ himself. He is our root. He is our life. He is our strength. He is the giver of nourishment. He enables us to be fruitful and to be glorious. No satanic form can break that, because it's of God, isn't it? The sovereign ruler of the skies. How foolish are those who rely upon themselves and rather than God himself. They need the root, don't they? That's why we proclaim the gospel. That's why I've been proclaiming the gospel for so many years. Why do I do it? Why do I put myself out and do it? Couldn't I do something different? Yes, I could do, and maybe I have done in the past, but I want to proclaim the gospel. Why? Because I know this is the only way for mankind. It's the only way for you to have this foundation in your life, the root. A root out of dry ground, you see, is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where we get our strength from. This is the source of peace. This is the source of joy. This is the source of severity. You know, I read in the paper just recently about how they're digging to make a very big bridge over a river, and they dug down deep and they rejoiced in the fact that they'd come to the solid rock, and then they got to the solid rock, they're able to build their large bridge. But we've understood that, haven't we? We know very well that all of us need foundation in our lives, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the foundation that we need ourselves. So then you see the symbol and its message. I want you now to consider with me the soil and its meaning. Because here we have the soil. We have the soil, a root out of dry ground. Dry ground. I suppose we have to say here, don't we, and we think of it ourselves, what an awful reception the Lord Jesus Christ had when he came into this world. We make much of the scripture which says there was no room for them in the inn. No room. And so we speak about that. But it does mean something. There is a message there, isn't there? The world is like that. And it would be like that even today. No room. It hasn't changed at all. Dry ground describes the condition of the world when Christ came in. Dry ground, not the sort of ground conducive for the root to grow. And that's all the world offered. And yet, would the world offer anything different even now? They were hostile to his message. They were unprepared to consider. They were unresponsive to the divine call. At the time, of course, you understand and you know, at that time, Rome was the powerful political force in the world, and Rome judged the world, and wherever you went, the Roman soldiers were there at that particular time. If you went to where the Lord was born, you have the religious zealots who knew so much and yet knew nothing whatsoever, with their traditional theology and their ritual sacrifice, but they were dead in trespasses and sins. It was dry ground. It was dry ground. I remember reading a story about a church who had to renew its pulpit because there was dry rot in it. They unfortunately put a notice out asking for funds and asking for help because there was dry rot in the pulpit. I don't want you to do that for me, thank you very much. I hope it's not dry rot that I'm speaking to you about this morning. Boy, I know it is not, of course. But surely you understand what I mean. This is what Christ found, unpropitious soil. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. The miracle of this root is a miracle that this root ever came through the dry ground and formed what indeed is now today the Church of Jesus Christ. We as individuals, what is our soil like? Is it just what we've been speaking about, unpropitious? And the Lord comes even this morning, but we haven't time for the Lord. We haven't got anything for him. It's dry ground. My friend, what about you today? Where do you stand? Is it a root out of dry ground as far as you individuals are concerned? We ask the question, why were they like this? Because they were preoccupied. Or if ever a group of people are preoccupied, it's today, isn't it? We have everything we want on the television, everything that you perhaps would like to have yourself, or you understand, people are preoccupied, no time for the Lord, no time for Christ, no time for the Redeemer, no time for the Saviour of mankind, no time. How sad that is. What about you, my friend? What about you? And then the religious leaders were prejudiced against anything that didn't form into their pattern or go into their way. And perhaps we're like that ourselves. How sad that is, if that is the truth. And then there are people full of pride, the pride which says, as far as they are concerned, they can do anything themselves. They don't need God. They don't need Christ whatsoever. Well, my friend, are you like that? This is the message that comes to you and to me. This is the message of Christmas. It's not what the world say. It's not what all the things that you have in the world. It's far better than that. It's far greater than that. It's the Lord who's come. But is our ground, that unpropitious ground that we're talking about this morning. So the first thing that we've seen this morning is the symbol and its message. The second thing we've just considered together is the soil and its meaning. The third thing I want you to notice here is the seam and its ministry. You may ask me, what do I use the word seam for? The seam is the joining part, the joining together, the ground and the roots. The roots came before, didn't it? In the sense that Adam failed. And so a second Adam comes to the fight. The second Adam comes to rescue the cause. Jesus is the second Adam that came. And there's a declaration, and the declaration includes once again man's condition before God. What is man's condition before God? Well, we have a sinful nature. We have a totally depraved nature. We don't like to use that word on ourselves. We may use it on others. We may speak about other people being like that. But that's us, totally depraved. That's man's condition. That's the soil that we're talking about here. Hopelessness before God and man. We may live this life and enjoy to a measure this life, but what about the life to come? Do you really believe that when a man or a woman dies, that's the end? There's nothing more to life or eternal life than that? My friend, you have a soul. And that soul is a living soul. And the word living means it can never, ever die. You say, but what about when a person goes to hell? Listen, they live in hell. And they'll live forever and ever. What about you? What's going to happen to you? And you're a sinner before God. Every one of us are sinners before God. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. We need a Saviour that we can rely upon, that we can trust, that we can put our faith into. And what about you, my friend? Don't put this off. Well, I can speak to you clearly. I can speak to you plainly. I don't want to upset you, but it doesn't matter if I do, because it's a message of God. And God has said you're a sinner before God and you need salvation. And you need to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. The time will come when the Lord will call you out of this life. You'll be gone. But where will you go? Will you go to heaven or will you go to hell? You say you shouldn't keep using that word. I wish I didn't have to. I wish I didn't have to. But I have to, don't I? I have to tell you, I have to warn you, I have to show you. This is the declaration that the Son of Man came to bring. There's only one way to God, and that is through the root out of dry ground for you and for me. And here is the deliverance which he can bring from sin, from the penalty of sin, and from the power of sin, from the devil himself. My friend, the Lord can save you. He can save you for time and for eternity. Is that possible? Is it really possible? You don't know my life, you may say. You don't know what I have done. No, I don't, but God does. But God forgives sin. God forgives all sin. God is the one that can cleanse us from sin. Get right with God. Get right with God. Oh, the enemy is defeated. We're thankful that upon the cross at Calvary, when Jesus died in our place instead, the old enemy, the devil, was defeated. He brought life and immortality through Jesus Christ. The battle was fought, the victory was won, and by his resurrection, it was completed as well, because he's alive forevermore. Now, perhaps we understand a little more about this saying, don't we? Root out of dry ground. What sort of foundation have you got? Do you have this root out of dry ground? And do you understand that even though we are in dry ground, yet he brings us into fertile soil, that which will bring forth fruit for his honour and for his glory? And so today, this is our Christmas message. There'll be another message, of course, on Christmas Day, but this is an important message, isn't it? It's a message concerning Christ, who is the root out of dry ground.